God gives us in this passage through the scope of things I will not want for because he is my shepherd. I will not want for rest. I will not want for refreshment. I will not want for restoration. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We see that we will not lack for comfort in dark times. We see, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We also see thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We will not want for direction. We won't want for direction. I want you to think back to a time in your life before the Lord had saved you. And I want you to consider a time where you looked at all the opportunities and all the things going on around you and you felt lost. I remember when I was in high school, I had it written down. I'm going to go to this college and I'm going to graduate in this amount of years. This is how I'm going to get these scholarships. At that time, I'm going to go and I'm going to ask Danielle to marry me. And I had all these plans. Well, Danielle and I broke up. The college went liberal. The teacher I was going to that college to learn Bible from quit. I had to go to a different college. It was almost like I put those plans on an Etch-a-Sketch. Just shook them all up. At the age, I believe, of 26, 27, I was going to pastor a church. It only took me 10 years other than that. That was fine. I always thought, this is my plan. There are thousands, millions, maybe even billions of people out there. I have plans. And then life happens. And those plans are gone. And what do people feel? Like they're lost. Well, what am I going to do now? Everything that's within my capacity to plan and do is gone. And if you haven't been there yet, just hang on. It'll come. We've all found moments where we have wanted for direction. However, since the day you were saved, God has a direction for you. When we look at the implements that the psalmist is talking about here, the rod and the staff, they were implements of both protection and guidance. Not often by the sheep's desire. As that sheep would wander a little too far off, you'd see that staff go out and just bring him back in. And every now and then he could be gentle with it as God is gentle with us. Right? Sometimes God gives us something, he gives it to us real gentle, and we say, wow, that was amazing, I'm so glad that was revealed to me, and we move on, oh yeah, yes, Lord, yes, I'll go that direction. Sometimes he's got to apply that staff a little bit harder to get us back in line. That sermon's got to come down hard on us, we got to have something happen in our lives that'll wake us up, and the Lord brings us back into where he wants us to be. We never should feel lost. We may not know what God is doing, but we've read in other places that before the foundation of the earth, God knew what he was going to do with you. There's no reason for you to feel lost. God has it in mind. And from the moment you're saved, you ought to rely on that. Because when you're lost, you feel, well, I'll do what I want. I'll do things my way. Right, the Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. You know, doing it Frank's way, if they got him on all the laws he broke and all the filthy, disturbing things he did, he would have multiple life sentences on him. That was him doing it his way. Right? Here's one I get in trouble for every now and then. Elvis. Oh, no, brother, don't pick on Elvis. He had those great gospel records. And I'm sure he used none of that money on drugs and underage women. I'm sure. I'm positive that he only tithed on that money. He did not. Because I'll tell you this, if we got him for what he was guilty of, he would have been in jail for the rest of his life. It would have been a completely different ending to his life if we got him for him doing it his way. To the carnal mind, we think, I'll do a little bit of this, I'll do a little bit of that. I'll make this rash decision. I've got to follow my heart. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves getting in trouble. You can't do things your way. Your way is impulsive. Your way is unlearned. Your way doesn't have the experience that it should. God, however, gives us all these things in His book. Why? Because He loves us. Don't you understand? Because He loves us. He would never sit there and give us a bad way. He would never sit there and allow us to suffer more than we'd have to, or suffer more than what would be beneficial to us some way. And I know that's a hard sentence to hear. How is me suffering ever going to be beneficial? God knows. So often the Bible uses the phrases, a metal tried in fire, silver tried in fire. We're supposed to go through the fire. And after the fire, we see that we got the blacksmith's hammer coming down on us. And yes, there are times where that staff comes down heavy on us, where sometimes even the rod has to get involved. But believe you me, God has a plan for things going on in your life. There's no need to feel lost. There's no need to sit there and try to guess your way out of it. One of the things I found out about myself early off in life is I've got a terrible sense of direction. And I've never grown out of it. I'd have people say, all right, meet us over here. They would give me crystal clear directions. I messed them up anyway. I've got no sense of direction. I told you that story of being at the hospital with my uncle, and I had my cousins with me. Well, when I first showed up to the hospital, I went in the wrong door. I was in the baby ward, and the lady had to help me get over to where I was supposed to go. My cousins were down in the dining area. We got onto the wrong elevator. Guess where we ended back up? The baby ward. Now, I know some of you are looking at me, but maybe the Lord's telling you something. I'm pretty sure He's just telling me I ain't got no sense of direction. Don't read too deep into that now, okay? I don't. But no, I got terrible. My cousin even looked over and, are you sure? It's got to. It's an elevator. It's going our direction. How could it not be the right elevator? Right? I was wrong. Some of us, when it comes down to making our life decisions, we've got terrible senses of direction. Our morality is twisted and bent. Or we're following the wrong people, right? Well, as long as I'm doing what famous people are doing, that's got to be okay. Have you seen where they end up? Right? I've seen people live their lives after God, and they don't got millions in the bank. As a matter of fact, they struggle from time to time. I know people who don't have the fanciest and nicest cars, but I'll tell you what, it gets them to church when they need to go. I've seen people who don't have it all, but are rich in the Lord, and they are happy, and they die happy. And I've seen people with everything, and they're miserable. Miserable. These pop stars sitting there talking about their broken lives, shooting music videos inside their mansions that they've got to sell because of how broken their lives are. I mean, come on. You tell me, do I want to go that way? Do I want to chase after Frank Sinatra, who died living the life that he did? Do I want to live the life that I see so many people today on Instagram and in the movies? And hey, this is how you ought to do it. And these are the choices you ought to make. And I watch it steal their voice and steal their health and steal their lives from them. And I'm supposed to follow after them. Or how about this? You ought to live this way and you ought to accept people like that because it's compassionate. I have never found where it's okay. I have never seen it work out where I've seen somebody struggling and hurting, and I go ahead, go ahead, keep sinning. Where they dig on and sin more, that's not compassion. Yeah, but it makes them feel good. You know, if I came across and there was a junkie in the street and he was barely hanging on, I wouldn't go to his dealer for him. I wouldn't tell him, oh man, you got to live your life, you got to do it your way. What would you do? I'd call him an ambulance. That's what I would do. You're dying. Let me get you some medical help. Well, Nowadays, we got whole states out there. You know what you need? You're homeless because of drugs. You're struggling because of drugs. Let's get you clean needles. Let's get some anti-drug stuff out there that the police officers, when they find that, they can shoot into you real quick. Let's get that so you don't have to stop doing the drugs. That's not compassion. That's murder. And I'll say, that ain't compassion. That's murder. Here's what you got to do. You got to give all these millions of dollars over to pharmaceutical companies and everybody around you who are buying beer and who are buying all these rainbow decorated things. They'll applaud you. And then you check in with them 10 years later. They're depressed. They're anxious. Those medications and those surgeries are killing them. Their insurance company has dropped them because they willfully did something that jeopardized their health. Which, by the way, you can do. If you're out there doing dangerous things to jeopardize your health, they will drop you. And they're out there doing that. And all of a sudden you say, well, nobody told me this, nobody told me that. And I say, well, you know what you ought to do? You ought to just double down, keep going, take more of the medication. That ain't compassion. Going out and finding young people, hey, keep at it. That ain't compassion. That's murder. That's malicious intent. We need to be real mindful of how we decide to live. Go to 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. You know, I'm going to start off in verse 7. You guys wait for me in verse 9. I'll come up to where you are. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ? When we look at the shepherd's staff, his guidance upon us, we first see our deep need for guidance. Because what we read here, verse 9, if you go back to that, I know I read a huge portion of it, but let's just look at verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. When it comes down to God's knowledge, when it comes down to his wisdom, we can't get to it ourselves. Right? They just recently arraigned that girl who had private knowledge, didn't she? She knew how to get all this information about your medical needs right out of a drop of blood. It turns out she was wrong. You know, God don't even need a drop of blood to know what's wrong with you. What about the spiritual things we read in Scripture, which is what we're talking about here? What about God's knowledge, his wisdom, his purpose for you? Do you think there's a single wise, celebrated person on earth today that could actually reach what God knows? We couldn't touch it. As a matter of fact, the reason why is because we are so carnally minded and so focused on what the body wants and what we want in our minds, we are too distracted to ever focus on the things of God, let alone attain to the things of God without Him. We haven't seen it. We'd struggle to get a hold of it. We wouldn't know what to do with it if we got it. We need the Lord to reveal these things to us. We couldn't get into that spiritual way of thinking without Him. See, when we were in the garden, I feel like Adam, as he was walking through the garden, was probably the height of understanding. Right? We've got this weird bias that we believe that here in 2023, we're the most intelligent humans that have ever been. Right? We always look backwards and think, oh, well, they were so primitive and so... I think we might be going the other way, but with cooler stuff. You know what I mean? Because I think Adam was the height of us. He walked with God. He had no sin nature. He walked with God, and I'm sure there was some understanding. God imparted knowledge and wisdom to him verbally, spoke it to him. What would you do for a walk around the garden with God? Wouldn't that be compelling? I'd cancel everything for it. I would make sure I had on the right shoes. I'd get some protein that morning. I'd be ready to go for a walk. I'd bring a notebook, maybe something to record the conversation. I'd want to drink it all in. Adam had that opportunity. There was something different about him pre-fall. But you know what happened after that? Sin rewired us. I think sin, when we're part of that corruption, it corrupted this. Before, we didn't even know what sin was. All of a sudden, we figured out what it was, and it changed our behavior. Adam, every day, walking in the cool of the day with God, what happened the moment he figured out, the moment sin entered into the world? What happened? Oh, I'm naked. Oh, I better hide. Adam, who'd never hid from God a day in his life, his desires changed. Because I'll tell you what, if I found myself in that kind of a pickle, and I walked every day with God, what should my first instinct be? To go, Lord, hey, Lord, help us. We messed up. Would that not make the most sense? But that's not what he did. And he couldn't blame television. He couldn't blame his education. He couldn't blame his environment. It was just him and Eve, right? And you better believe he blamed her, but something rewired in that brain of his. Sin changed us. And now we desire weird stuff. We do the wrong thing. We fix it the wrong way. We cannot attain to the things of God in our natural state. But thankfully, as we read, God prepares wisdom and prepares understanding for us. As a shepherd looks for, he goes, all right, we're going to come here. They're going to graze for a while. We'll go on down to that still waters. And then we'll come up over here where it's a bit safer. We saw some bears over here, so we're going to come up over here. And this is where we're going to hold off. We're going to hold off over here in these pastures over here. We'll get them all gated in over there, and everything will be safe. We'll stay there for a couple weeks. We'll go down and graze in the other area. He's got a plan. Those sheep, they don't understand the plan. They don't know the plan. They just know as long as I'm with the shepherd, I'm safe. Right? And that's where I sit today. That's where you sit today, hopefully. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do tomorrow. You know, I've got a day planner. I spent a couple hours this week swapping from one planner to the next. You know, anything I write in that book is just a guess. I'd like to think that tomorrow I'm going to do these 5 things, these 12 things, these 13 things. And you know what I often end up having to do? Same thing you do. Well, it rained today, so there goes those 2 things. You know what? That didn't come in. We need that to get the other things done, so that didn't get done. You know, that happens, doesn't it? Why? Because you can guess. Only God can really plan. God can put all the things together, and He prepares that plan for you. Hey, this is what I'm going to do in their life. At this point, I'm going to do this, and it'll mature them in this way. I'm going to sit them down. I'm going to have that sermon prepared for them. It's going to break their heart in just such a way that I could mend it again. God has a plan for your guidance. It's very important for Him that we listen and that we are ready for it. God has prepared these things for us. He's prepared those things for who? To those that love Him. To those that love Him. You know, so often people, well, you know, I pray, but I don't feel like God's ever doing anything for me. Well, have you ever come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? You ever repent of your sins? Trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? You ever do those things? Well, no. Ain't going to work. I mean, you think about it. You got a mom and dad? Yeah, I got a mom and dad. If I went over to my mom and dad and said, hey, mom and dad, I'm hungry. Can I have some dinner with you guys? What would they do? Well, they'd make you dinner. If I go over to your parents' house and I ask them for dinner, you think they're going to be ready for me? No. Do you know where my parents live? Yeah. Wouldn't work that way, would it? Unless they're incredibly hospitable people. He prepares those things for those that love Him. You can't love Him in a lost and carnal state. You can't love Him. Oh, you can like the idea of Him. You know, I've known a lot of people who don't have a relationship with God, decorate their house with cutesy little angel statues. Not what angels really look like, but they got the little statues up. They got scriptural verses all over their walls. Don't go to church. Don't pray. Never crack the Bible, but they have a religious family. You don't love them. If we don't have a relationship with them, we can't say that there's love there. So for those that love Him, those that rely on Him, He has plans for His people. He's got plans. And who is it that helps us and gives us this guidance? Who is it that brings this to us? Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. I want you to jump ahead a little bit. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So often you see people, they'll come to church and they'll know stuff, but you could tell it doesn't click with them. You know, I've read things that people have written, and you almost kind of see that they've come so close to actually understanding the things of God, but they're far away from it. It's like, oh, you're somebody who knows the idea, but you've never experienced it. You think you know salvation. You think you know that relationship. But there's something betrayed in your language that shows you don't quite fully understand it. You know what the difference is? The Holy Spirit revealing it to you. I mean, there's men out there who probably spent more time in theological study than I have been alive, but they haven't studied it right. And then study it through, and the Holy Spirit didn't speak to them because there's no salvation. Right? Those religious studies majors, right? Those people who could speak on religion. Oh, they've studied it for a long time. No salvation, no Holy Spirit, no real understanding. No real understanding. We need the Holy Spirit to help make sense of the things of God. Because I'll tell you what, I've never seen anybody outside of one of God's true people get worked up the way the Word of God can work up a child of God. Never seen it break their hearts the way I've seen it only do for the child of God. Oh yeah, we studied this. It was a really good philosophy. It was a really decent idea. You don't get it. See, what you see is you see a story about a prophet that came and preached about forgiveness, and forgiveness seems like a good idea, but the Holy Spirit never worked on you to show you the sinner you are. Because when the Holy Spirit's working on you and you hear, you read about how we're sinners, it guts you. You feel the responsibility. You understand the punishment coming. And it guts you. And then there's the hope. There's the peace that comes through salvation. Only the Holy Spirit can bring those things into our lives. God ordains us, and in the right time, He sends the Holy Spirit to convict us and to bring us into the fold. We need the Holy Spirit to truly be able to live by His guidance. And I'll tell you what, I'll ask you this. If you ever lived, you're out there, you're living your life and you've slipped from the things of God and you've entertained yourselves with the wrong things and you're following the wrong kind of philosophies and you're giving into the flesh. Tell me, do you feel like you understand the Bible better then? I'll be honest with you, I never have. If I've got sin in my life, that book's hard to read. That book's hard to follow. Why? Because you've trained up your flesh to be stronger, haven't you? But when I'm sensitive to the moving of the Holy Spirit, it's easier to read my Bible. It's easier for me to pray. It's easy for me to make it to church. And I ain't talking for those that are sick. I'm just talking for those that are like, well, maybe I'll go, maybe I won't. We'll see. We'll see if there's any open tea times on Sunday morning. That crowd. Be easier for us to get to church. Why? Because sin will pull you away from the Spirit. As the Scripture says, quench not the Spirit. There's a lot of things we do to quench the Spirit. You're not going to be able to understand the Bible well. You know it. That's why you stop reading it when you get more carnal. That's why you stop praying and reading. And that's why you stop paying attention to preaching when you're more carnal. It's not just, well, my mind wanders. Your mind wanders because you've got it overstimulated. You need to knock off all that sin. Knock off all that distraction and get right with the Lord. When do you start getting ready for church on Sunday? I was always told you get ready on Saturday night. What does that look like? Full night's sleep. But also before you do that, you ought to clear everything out. Shouldn't you? Get your sin right on a Saturday night. And Sunday will hit you different, I promise. Now that's not permission for you to sin all that while. Right? To me, the less mess I make, the less I got to clean, right? If I'm not out there, Lord, all right, now forgive me for this and forgive me for this and forgive me for this. You remember, you're serving the Lord. You don't give yourself leash to sin as long as I clean it up on Saturday. That's not how this works. But if you got sin, you take care of it on Saturday. Now, I'll tell you this too. The Bible says you need to take care of it in the moment. So you better not have left it on till Saturday. But my point is this, you clear it up before you walk in. And you'll have a better Sunday service. Get your rest. Make peace with everybody around you. Make it right. We need that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So, the Lord brings us to that thinking. He gives us that guidance. The Holy Spirit lends in the moving us to that guidance. And that is the only thing we teach. We talked about that this morning. It's the only thing we teach. The things that God has for us, that's what we teach. That's what we stand by. That's what we preach. Now go to Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. That's the staff. That's the guidance, the teaching of the things of God, the teaching of Scripture, the following along of it, the Holy Spirit moving us through it. Now there's that rod. That rod is there for protection. Matthew 10, verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father, which is in heaven. My brother had a car, and it didn't last very long because, again, he's not a very good driver. But he had this car, man, it was a Honda Civic. Some folks were like, hey, that's not very nice that he said that about his brother. Go drive with him. You come back, we'll talk. He knows. He knows. All right, I'm not gossiping. He knows. When he first got it, he'd sit there, he'd polish that car. He'd look at that. That boy knew where every dent was. He knew where every scratch was. And he would tell me. Oh man, it's perfect except for this one dent under the mirror. It's got two scratches on the bumper, but other than that, it is in perfect condition. Right up until the day he drove it into a tree. Then I asked him, I go, so how many dents does it have now? He goes, shut up. He loved that car. He knew everything about that car. So if a teenager could love a car, and if God can be aware of a sparrow falling, what do you think he feels about you? He says he knows every hair on your head. I think, you ever wake up and you're not happy with your hair? We've probably all been there. Unless you're a man, in which case you probably don't care. You wake up, there it is. You know, you just kind of look at it. You go, well, that's my head. It's still on. Let's go. Ladies, I think you might care a little bit more. You know, I had a bad hair day. I didn't like this. You ever get a bad haircut? Oh, I got a bad haircut. You worry about it. You fuss about it. God knows every hair on that head, and he loves every hair on that head. He don't care you have a bad hair day. He doesn't care what it looks like. He gave you all those hairs. Be grateful for him. Right? He knows every care you have, every fear you have. He loves you. He watches over you. That's love, isn't it? So you think that somebody who knows you so well, knew you before you were conceived, designed you, shaped you, blessed you, even made sure you made it through the womb, which nowadays I think you ought to deserve a gold medal for. Some did. Some just barely made it. Listen, he loves you. So you think he's going to protect you? You better believe he's going to protect you. Well, if he's protecting me, why is all this going on? Sometimes you got to go through the storm. But you better believe he's protecting you. I've even said this, hey, if you think it's bad what you're going through, you ought to see what he's holding off. Because I've been through there, I've been through some hard times, and I'm sitting there going, whoo, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I hope you hurry up, because I am terrified at all this. And I've seen some things go miraculously right. And I go, well, at least he didn't let that happen, because that would have been worse. We were sitting there trying to figure out my uncle's funeral. We had 1,000 problems with it, just trying to move from one thing to the other. And I've told you some of that, but what I didn't tell you for fear was that my car stalled on the way down to Kentucky. Oh, yeah. And I'm sitting there going, oh, man. And I'm panicking. Okay, well, what do I do? I'm in the middle of a grocery store. I'm like, all right, well, at least I'm in a populated area, right? And I've got some jumper cables. So I got the jumper cables. Fortunately, they were out. When I went to go get jumper cables, they were out of the regular sized one. They only had the big 20 footers. You ever have those? They only had those big ones. And I was so upset. Oh, guess what I really needed? The longer jumper cables. Wouldn't have worked otherwise. I sat there. I went up to one lady. Hey, not right now. I got to go. Leave me alone. And she panicked as she got in her car. I felt bad. This other guy comes up, had a veteran's hat on. Sir, he goes, I don't really want to be bothered. And I don't blame people who don't want to be bothered. Why? Because I don't want to be bothered. I don't know who these people are. And I want to be a help, but it's getting scarier out there, right? One minute you're jumping someone's car or giving them $5 for gas. The next minute they got a knife in you. You know, I get it. But he came over. We tried to maneuver it the best we could. I pulled out the jumper cables, and even he said, well, it's a good thing you got these ones or else this wouldn't have worked. Got the car jumped, didn't have another problem the entire rest of the trip. Now, before anybody come up here, what's going on with your car? I replaced the battery, we're fine. All right, it's fine. But I was far away from home. I was beyond where AAA would have towed me back to the house. You understand? And I said, well, that's one thing I ain't got to worry about. Lord took care of it, let's go. And I could see in those individual things. But you know what? It didn't bring my uncle back to life, didn't solve all the other issues that we had. But in that storm, I see where God stopped things from being worse. And then I saw where he brought everything to a conclusion where I could drive back home and say, Lord, you provided everything. Every problem. Brother, you ever go down for a funeral and all of a sudden you find out the night before that the cemetery won't let you come and bury your relative there? Yeah, I mean, me neither. It's the first one for me, and I'm younger. I know less. And down there in Kentucky, where we bury our relatives, none of the cemeteries are really official cemeteries. They're family plots. So you got to get a hold of the family as well as the funeral place to get all that figured out. It was a hot mess. Oh yeah, we called it the Roland Hill because our name is Roland. And also, if you're not careful, that's what your aunt will do. That's only kind of funny because it's only happened a couple times, but she was okay. No, we get up there and I'm coming back home. And you know what I'm singing on the way back home? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. That's one of my favorite songs to sing. When the Lord blesses. Now, was my heart still beat up? Yeah, my family's rough, man. It wasn't just death. There was a lot of stuff you had to face. It wasn't a good time. All right, 0 stars. Would not recommend that vacation. Come back. Thank you, Lord. It was rough. Probably took a couple years off my life. I know it grayed a few of my hairs if I didn't lose a handful of them, you know. But Lord, you blessed all throughout. And that's what he does. Don't fear the people that could take your life. Because that's in the Lord's hands. You know, Lord, take my life today. I wake up in heaven. Well, there it is. They were talking about those guys that went down in that submersible. And one of the things that the guy was talking about in an interview, he was just talking about how, well, you know, just getting out of bed is dangerous. You know, you start counting everything dangerous. And I kind of thought about what I was going to say today. You know, there's a lot of dangers in living in this world. A lot of them. But no matter what happens, the Lord's got my life in his hands. If anything happens to me in a car, in a boat, and whatever, I wake up in the halls of my God. I ain't got nothing to worry about there. Right? And a lot of people, they don't have that. They're anticipating a void. They're anticipating the unknown. I know. Now, here's the beautiful thing. Most of it's going to be a surprise. We don't know a lot about what's going to happen on the other side. But you know what? I know it's going to be wonderful. And I know who made it. So I'm on board. I'm on board. I want the surprise. We'll live for as long as he gives me. But there ain't no heartache for me over on that side. I need to be more concerned about God. Well, I'll tell you what. If you don't do that, they're going to make it real hard to live. I got a God who can make difficult things easy. Well, I tell you what, they'll be real mean to you and everything will be real awful. You won't be able to do a lot of business and everybody will have something negative to say about you. I got a God who loved me anyway. I got a God who provides infinite amounts of support and comfort and love. I've got God's people around me. Doesn't matter how many are around me, but I love the fellowship of God's people. I got that. As long as there's a church for me to go to, they'll shut down all the churches. Don't come to my backyard. You're right, there's no more churches. Just don't come over to my backyard unless you really want to get to know the Lord. You can come on over. We're having a small discussion. It's barbecue, right? Sometimes it's too cold to barbecue outside. We'll meet on the inside. We'll just cook inside. Yep. You're always going to have the Lord's two churches. For those that love the Lord and seek to serve him, we'll be willing to do some very creative things to still honor God. That's just the way it's going to be. Can't stop us. Says the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In one form or another, you can't take it from us. So I ain't worried. You know who I do fear? I fear the Lord. You know what the Lord can do? He can end the physical life. And he can send you to an eternity of death. An eternity in hell. I'm more concerned about him. He gave me an eternity in heaven. Gave me forgiveness. Gave me salvation. So you know who I'm really concerned about? I'm concerned about what he thinks. I'm concerned about what he'll do. It's in him I trust in these things. And because of these things, I can rejoice. Because of these things, right? So many people, oh, well, guidance and protection and following rules and having to stick to these guidelines. Oh, it's so restrictive. I want you to think about your favorite pair of shoes. Your favorite pair of shoes, is it all feathers? No, it is not. You wouldn't put feathers in your shoes. Why? That's too soft. Now, some of you, you like to walk around barefoot, right? But if you got on a pair of shoes, you like a perfect combination of structure and comfort. Am I right? Padding where it should be, right? And structure where it should be. We all like it that way. How about your mattress? Anybody here, you sleep on a large marshmallow? No, we all have different levels of firmness we like. Why? Because all comfort is a very difficult thing. It'll hurt you, right? You got to have some structure in order for the comfort to make any sense. You got to have some rules in order for life to be good. That's it. Everybody's got them. Everybody understands them, right? We do like the speed limit rules because while it may stop me from going 10 over, it's going to stop some punk kid, hopefully, for going 50 over. You following me? Right? Me going 35 in a 35, maybe I'll bump it up to 40. That's what I would probably do. But there's people out there will go 70 in that thing and not a thought or care in their head. We need rules. We need them. They're good for us. Right? Not just in a eat your boring cereal because it's good for you way. It protects our lives. Guardrails, safety instructions. All these things are important. We talked about last week about, you know, medication with warnings. If you're allergic, don't take it. You ever open something up? Maybe a packet of beef jerky. You get that little packet in there. Don't eat this. It's bright white, doesn't look anything like the rest of the jerky, but they still got to warn you, don't eat it. Now, why? Because if you eat it, you'll die. And there's a few fools out there who sit there and say, I'm going to eat this plastic package. We need rules. We need structure. Another one that got me was that you look at your hair dryer. Notice how hair dryers come with that warning not to use in the bathtub. That's got to be a rule. Somebody asked me one time, we were going through the lease, we were signing a lease for the apartment, and they were going through, they're like, some of these are very specific rules. Why? I go, I'll tell you. Because at one time or another, somebody caused property damage by doing it. We had a rule that said no live Christmas trees. Why can't we have live Christmas trees? Are you guys just prejudicial against Christians? I kind of chuckled. I go, no. I go, because people leave them up for too long. Needles get everywhere, sap gets everywhere, ruins the carpet. We've had some use real candles on there. Those go up in torches. I mean, we've had property damage from, I can't remember what the exact number was for property damage our company alone sustained from Christmas trees, but that got it into the lease. You know what I'm saying? We had one rule, you can't barbecue too close to the apartment building. Why? Because we had several yahoos barbecue too close to the apartment building and barbecue the entire apartment building. That's why. Well, these rules are very mean. These rules will keep you alive. Why is it that you guys are passing these morality laws against abortion? It's not a morality law. That's a human being. That's what it is. Well, you guys aren't letting us do this stuff to kids. Because it's killing them. It's making them sick. We've got no proof it's healthy for them. As a matter of fact, we got more proof that it's hurting them. That's why. We need rules, because we got some people out there too carnal-minded for their own good. We need structure. We need guidance, not just because we can't attain it, but because without it, it would be chaos. And when we have those things, they're not cause for, oh man, we've got rules, oh man, I can't do this and I can't. No, those things are good. And all of a sudden you see that things are good. Right? I followed this. It prevented that. What a wonderful thing. I did what I was supposed to. I would learn better than that. So when sinners enticed me, I was allowed to, I was able to not consent to it. It's a beautiful thing. It's wonderful. And then what do we get to do? We get to praise the Lord for that comfort of guidance, of help. Psalm 63, verse 3. Psalm 63 and verse 3. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for foxes. But the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory. But the mouth of them that speaketh lies shall be stopped. You get to praise the Lord after it's done. You know, you get to walk through everything. You get to turn around. And, you know, I liked how it says there, you know, it's like fat and marrow. Serving the Lord, you know, as he protects you and as he guides you, it's like a big mouth-watering steak. It's a beautiful thing. It's a fulfilling thing. Most people, they're afraid to serve the Lord. They're afraid to follow after the guidance of God because they think they're going to miss out on something. I've walked the way of the Lord from my teenage years. I've made several mistakes along the way, but I've walked with him. I've had to say no when everybody else around me said yes. Even people who were supposed to be standing with me against something had walked away. I said, that's what it says. It says, I can't do that. You know, my boss, well, we've got to, it's not lying, Matt. What it is you've got to phrase it the right way. No, that's lying, and I ain't going to sell that way. Well, you ain't going to do no good. Eventually, I have to fire you for low performance. Man, you better believe I forwarded every top five closer thing I was ever on over to her. There you go. There you go. There you go. How that tastes pretty good to me. That is juicy. There's fatness and marrow in that, man. Well, if you don't do this, we'll fire you. Well, my God says I can't do that. So you go ahead. One time I got smart. Well, that's specifically in the Bible. I'm refusing it for religious reasons. So if you want a religious persecution lawsuit on your hand, go ahead. You know, they never pulled the trigger on it. All right, listen, now we're going to go do this. And if not, you might not fit in with us, right? Come out drinking with us. And if I'm not out there in the smoke room or I'm not out there at the bar at the end of work period, you know how it goes, right? If you don't come out to the bar with us after, you don't fit in. If you don't fit in with the boss, you might not get the promotion. Matt, you ought to come out. No, no. Well, you got to get over yourself. No, it ain't me I got to get over. I can't get over God. I can't get over all the mercy. I can't get over all the grace. I can't get over all the blessings. I can't get over all the guidance. And I can't get over what happens when I follow the guidance. So no, it ain't me I got to get over. I got over me a long time ago. I was done with me a long time ago. Well, Matt, what you ought to do is go home and tell your wife this. Yeah, but the Bible says no. You ever get that, fellas? You go home and you tell your old lady she needs to... Excuse me? Oh, I need to love my wife the way the Lord loved the church. And I ain't ever heard the Lord talk to the church like that. Disrespectful and mean. Well, what you need to do is if your old man ain't being nice to you, you need to go on out there and find you a new guy. That ain't what that says. That ain't what that says. Well, I tell you what, if, you know, having kids is a burden to you, abortion's always an option. Uh-uh. I can't get past that. Well, should I take this job or that one? Well, this one, you know, I was in that position before. Do I take this higher paying job over at this restaurant where I work stocking up the bar? Or do I go, you know, it was a restaurant and they'd have you stock the bar. Well, that was one of the things you had to do. Or do I go over to this lower paying job and there's no alcohol involved? Guess what you got to do? You know what the Lord did? He blesses every step of the way. I can sit here and say I have never wanted for anything. I've never seen a hangover I coveted. I've never seen a relationship fall apart because of debauchery that I was like, you know what? It still sounds kind of fun though. You know, we were spending time with my dad trying to get dad to quit smoking. You know, and I've told people recently, well, how come you never started smoking? I go, I'd love to say it was a religious thing, but every morning my dad would wake up and give me the perfect reason as to why you should never start. I mean, we almost had to go in there, give him the Heimlich one morning. I'll go, it's over. It is over. Never looked at that and said, I want a piece of that. Never seen anybody sitting there debating whether or not they should go get high or pay their rent, go get high, pay their medical bills, go get high or whatever, or take care of their kids. Never seen that and go, yeah, but it still kind of sounds fun. I've never missed out for a thing. Never. And along the way, I have found God's blessings in His guidance that I never could have found on my own. I started this off just thinking about that song. Oh, how I love Jesus. Xander, you remember doing that? Oh, how I love Jesus. You see those kids, and as time plays, you know, you see them become teenagers. I saw a picture of one of the kids that I used to do that with. You know, I'd move the microphone around, and each one of my favorite people to pass the microphone over to, because she'd sing like this. You know, every time she'd go to sing, she'd move her. Saw a picture of her kid up there doing it. That hits me right here. You ain't going to find that in a bar. You ain't going to find that in a bar. You know, you're just seeing the blessings that go on. You know, I look back at those kids. Would they even be here without the Lord? I was told no. I ain't wanted for a thing. I'll follow that guidance. Yeah, sure, there was some things in the moment I looked at and said, well, all right, if I have to give that up to follow the Lord, I will. There's been moments like that. But you know what? I didn't miss it. And sometimes the Lord gave it to me anyway. You know that one boss, hey, listen, if you don't start doing things my way, I'll have you out. Within 4 years, she was out. She was fired. And there I was, managing my own property, something she said she'd make sure would never happen. Now, you know me, that wasn't my intellect. You know me, that wasn't my prowess. That was a gift. We read at the end where the Lord will bring those people low. And that's exactly what happens, and I've seen it. People try to move against God's people, hurt God's people for their stance. I've seen them suffer. We were talking about that earlier. I've seen them struggle. I've seen them struggle in very specific ways. Well, Matt, everybody here agrees with me. And then, you want to know how she got fired? She started doing stuff nobody liked. Very specific. Listen, you follow God's guidance. You follow that. You follow the staff, and He'll use that rod. You understand? We have everything we need in the Lord when it comes down to what to do and how to do it. And I'm telling you, it is the sweetest thing ever when we abide by it. Heavenly Father, Lord, we're grateful for Your many gifts. Grateful for Your love, watch, care, Lord, Your blessings. Father, I'm not even entirely sure how we make it through the day were it not for Your gentle hand, Lord, Your guidance, Your protection over us. Lord, I pray that we continue to walk thankfully. That, Lord, our mouths always be filled with praise, even if we don't have some miracle or some wonder You just worked, because You're always good. Lord, let's always remember the good things. Let's not get caught up in our troubles and our trials, but, Lord, let us instead focus on Your guidance, where You want us to go, what You want us to do, and, Lord, to remember the blessings along the way. You've never failed us, Father. You never will. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.